B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
And welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, August 16th, 2019.
23rd, actually. My bad.
Oh, wow. You didn't update that one. Good job, Joe. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington.
Way to Ron Burgundy it.
I know, right? Didn't even think about it. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to sit down with Washington Post contributor Noah Smith and pick his brain. Plus, we're going to preview the upcoming action this weekend going down in the LCS. That's coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with a very special guest in studio. Joining us from Riot Games is Devin Murphy returning to the show. What's going on, Devin? So glad to have you in studio with us.
Hey, it's great to be here, guys. I'm really happy to be able to be hosted.
So we gotta check one off the old bucket list.
Yes,
here. Get Ryder in studio,
big time. Yes, absolutely.
Achievement.
Yes. So Devin, the last time we talked, the event was still kind of a month out. A lot of preparations were still being put in place. We are now on the proverbial doorstep. How are you feeling about the LCS Summer Split Finals and how it's come together?
Oh, I feel great. This show in particular, I think, will be one of the proudest moments of my LCS career.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, knock on wood.
right.
Still got to do it.
We hope.
But we have so many teams working in tandem on this, and it's going to be one of the most robust summer finals that LCS has ever put on. Everything from a reimagined opening ceremony to a robust fan day that we're going to do on Saturday before the third place matches. We're bringing the Dive Live out.
Nice.
Chevy
so
Plaza.
Cool.
Yeah.
Really?
We'll
oh, my God.
This
I'm
or that live with some live polling software so the audience can participate in this or that.
Awesome.
Oh, wow. We've got an arcade set up with TFT stations and 1v1s. I think we'll have Tyler 1 and Yasuo 1v1ing people. So it should be a lot of fun.
Well, yeah. I see these guys are very excited because they are big fans of Teamfight Tactics. We can't actually get them to stop playing it in the office.
No.
In the office.
No,
here.
You can't get us to stop playing Teamfight Tactics because for those of us who don't have the technical skill to actually be good at League on the Rift,
whoa.
You just play TFT.
Hold on. Don't act like that's an excuse. Joe got 8th earlier today in one match.
I'll have you know that I got 8th in 5 out of 6 matches.
Oh.
It wasn't just one time that I got 8th.
You are legendarily bad.
Yeah, for being the best actual League player on our team, I am far and away the worst at Teamfight Tactics. I am awful at that game.
And
Devin, how are you at Teamfight Tactics?
I am not great, but I'm not great at League either. So.
Oh, well, okay. Well,
you're in good company.
Right? At least you're consistent.
So we found that around the office, though. Everybody's playing, and a lot of the people who aren't the great mechanically at League, they're killing it at Teamfight Tactics.
Because it's all theory crafting, man.
Exactly,
I'm with it. But as you know, for local boys here in the city of Detroit, how's the city been responding to you guys? How's they embraced esports?
The city has been amazing. Everyone from our partnership with Rocket Mortgage, who helped bring us out here as a title sponsor, to the Detroit Sports Commission, who's really gone out of their way to integrate us into a lot of what's happening in the community in Detroit. We got to do some marketing and advertisement with the Detroit Tigers at Comerica,
nice.
Which was a really big
super
thing
cool.
to have our banners in Comerica Park.
I'm so sorry you had to be affiliated with that team. That's unfortunate.
Joe!
Just dead last, whatever.
But everything from the hotel has been so great to basically the venue at Little Caesars is amazing. The staff there is amazing. The technology they have for our use there is amazing. And they've really gone out of their way to make this one of our most seamless shows for load-in, which is quite an extensive process.
Oh, that's awesome. So, it's so good to hear that because we're esports, we're in Detroit. You want your city to represent really well on the esports scene. And
There's
always that little bit of nagging worry that we're going to get in here and have someone just be like, Detroit was okay.
Yeah, it was all right.
They're not bottom five.
It wasn't as bad as everyone says it is.
Yeah, exactly.
That's always the worst
That's
one.
The worst
That's
one.
The worst one. That one always hurts the heart a little
Beats
bit.
It's Cleveland.
Yeah.
Well, you got Rocket Mortgage behind you, so you better watch out with that.
So you guys, you had mentioned that, and I, you know, don't give too much away, but that you guys have reimagined the opening ceremony. So I'm kind of curious, like, what can you tell us about that?
Sure.
That sounds really interesting.
I would love to tell you about it, actually. You guys helped us start with this, because when we approached opening ceremonies, we wanted to incorporate live music for the first time.
Right.
We've never had a live musical act at opening ceremonies. And so when I first started thinking about it, I was like, well, who can we get? You know, I'm a punk rock guy. And I'm like, you know, can we get Iggy? You know, can we get, what's MC5 doing right now?
I wish.
Yeah,
I wish I could have brokered that.
But we reached out to you guys because we thought, what's happening in Detroit right now? We should reach out to the people in Detroit who are living Detroit, who are part of the community, part of the scene, and, you know, they would be able to put us in touch with some really interesting musicians and artists out there.
Yeah.
And so through that, we found Jack Sanderson and Assemble Sound and all the work she's been doing there. And we found such a great brand connection between the two of us. It's exciting. I just came from the rehearsal for the opening ceremony.
Oh,
and I don't
want
to give too much away, but she's phenomenal. The ceremony itself, we're utilizing projection mapping, which is something we've never done before.
Ooh.
And so for our walkouts, we can show player highlights and moments on the floor.
Oh, this is going to be so cool.
We're tying it into call-outs and things like that when dragons are taken
cool.
and barons. I don't want to give too much away, but it's going to be really hype. And I think it'll be the most integrated experience in Bowl that we've ever done for an LCS Finals, because we'll have the Pixmob bracelets again lighting up in unison with the ceiling tiles, which are, you know, LED controlled.
Yeah.
With addition to the projection mapping on the floor and then all of the lighting, and Little Caesars have been great. We've been using a lot of their in-house lighting, which has saved us some time and energy to spend our resources really developing the show, making it the best it can
be.
Man,
is this League of Legends or is this some other Blade Runner? Like, what are we talking about here? This
so
sounds
cool.
Amazing.
Yeah,
we're
this
really
sounds
excited.
Really, really cool. And of course, yeah, big fans of Jax Anderson and, you know, her work with the various different musical projects that she's a part of. Can't wait to check that out. That is so exciting.
I gotta ask, so the promo video for the event drops this morning and it's awesome.
It's so good.
I mean, was it shot in the city? Did the stuff come out of... does that look like the Fox, right? I'm not crazy.
Like the Fox.
Yeah, we bring our features team out, and we have a really strong, talented features team. A really talented group of individuals who turn that around so quickly every time we do a road show. And they come out, they're utmost professionals, and they get in there and they capture a bit of the flavor of what's happening. And we want to make sure we do the host city proud when we come somewhere like this. And I think we've leaned into that more for Detroit than we have anywhere before. And I think it's something that, you know, pending success, knock on wood again,
right,
it's something we would love to continue. It's just making the LCS feel like it's coming to a host city in this, and we're talking to the host city, that we're not just doing a cookie cutter show, that we're not doing it in a vacuum, but that we're doing it for the fans that we're trying to serve in that new city, and make sure when we get out to these new markets, when we bring the show to people who haven't gotten to see an event of this size or production value before, that we make them feel like they're a part of it, and that them being there is why we're doing it.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're hanging out with Devin Murphy from Riot Games. He's the lead event coordinator for Riot Games. Is that right? Did I get your title right?
I'm the product lead or the events lead. So
got it.
I'm
okay.
In charge of the holistic event, everything that goes into it. So I manage the relationship between our marketing and the broadcast team, features team, and make sure it all gels together into something that it feels like a good product that our fans can enjoy.
So along those lines, what are some of the unique challenges to taking an event like this on the road? How does it compare to doing, you know, your weekly show in LA?
Sure. That's a great question. Well, we have to build our house, so that's a big part of it.
How much time does that take?
So we have quite an extensive load-in. Little Caesars has been great in letting us use their lighting and letting us use their screens. Little Caesars has one of the biggest LED screens in the country, in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been phenomenal for us. Usually we have to truck in 40-foot by 20-foot screens, projectors, and just rigging that up. We spend, you know, we take over the venue on a Wednesday at 6 a.m. We do all the rigging, get everything up that's going to go above, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, we start in the morning. We do everything on the stage that's going to get built out. It's going to go on the ground. Friday, we spend the morning connecting everything, you know, making sure that all the network will play, and then do rehearsal all Friday and then go right into show Saturday. Show Saturday, show Sunday. Immediately after broadcast on Sunday, we start loading out. It takes about 7 to 9 hours to break everything down and ship it out, and we're out of the venue by 6 a.m. Monday morning.
That is
amazing. 7 to 9 hours to break down everything, all that right? stuff?
Still, though, that's amazing. That's amazingly efficient. Like, it's, that's bananas.
But when you think about it in the touring, you know, when concerts tour, they're in and out in 36 hours.
Yeah.
So I've tried to negotiate holds with some venues that we've really wanted to go to, and they're like, listen, we'd love to have you, but in the time you're here, we have Childish Gambino, Kevin Hart, and Elton John coming in and out and just turning it around. And so it's a relationship that we're always managing, especially as esports becomes a bigger deal in North America and mm-hmm. is on more people's radar. Is sure, we're going to take more time, but this is a great event for your venue to have because it opens the doors for the future.
Listen, but do you tell them, does Childish Gambino have 10,000 holograms shooting onto right. the ground with 30-foot dragons popping up and, you know, the hologram K-pop people dancing all over? They don't have this kind of stuff, okay? Listen, I don't know if anybody could tell, but I'm really excited. So, you know, I want to ask, is there a sense of, you know, every year you guys try to sort of take it to the next level? So with every split mm-hmm. finals, you guys sort of really want to outdo yourselves, because there's still not a production on this caliber anywhere from North American esports.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's a kind thing to say. Yes, we want to keep building year over year. We want to take our wins and figure out the things that really resonate with our players. The most important thing to us is that it lands and it means something to the people who are watching. And so we figure out what works, we retro what didn't work, and then we build upon the foundation that we're broadening year over year. And so some of our big bets for this one, if we look at where are we going to take risks, the risks were live music for the opening ceremony, mm-hmm. Projection mapping, the most robust fan day we've ever done, where, you know, we're not to talk about numbers, but we're spending more on the fan day than we ever have before, because wow. we want to make sure everyone who comes out gets mm-hmm. to really feel part of the community. And, you know, the best part about going to a sporting event live is that you see other people in the jerseys of the team you like, and you see people in the team you hate. And there's like there's an ecosystem there of both validation and community and competition, all these things that are very healthy and really good to be a part of. And you feel it. And then when you get into that bowl and you start cheering and you can feel that energy, there's nothing like it.
Well, and I mean, I look at this and I just the things you've described that are happening so far, these are things that are in years past would have been reserved for Worlds. I mean, that would have been kind of the only time you would get things done on this scale. It sounds like you're trying to, I mean, you as a person in charge is trying to bring that experience to the summer split finals and eventually, you know, the spring split finals as well.
Definitely. And it's something that's being facilitated a lot by the help of our partners. Like Rocket Mortgage has been great in helping us achieve a lot of the things that we've always wanted to do, but just haven't been able to execute upon. Detroit Sports Commission, like I said, have been partners through this whole thing, and they've been excellent. Everyone who works with us, all the league sponsors, State Farm, Alienware, Secret Lab, they're all chipping in, and we're meeting weekly and we're talking about how do we build this out? How do we take this to the next level? How do we make sure that the people who are watching at home, the people who are coming on site, that they all get an experience that's unlike any other esport experience that they've gotten so far? And then how do we outdo that the next year?
Well, I think you can tell how excited we are for the Summer Split Finals. What has you the most excited about this weekend?
I would say the opening ceremony.
Yeah.
I'm a music guy. You know, I came up, like I said, I'm a punk rock guy, and I just love music that has soul.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
That has like a heart behind it, and you feel it, and it gets you excited. That's what resonates with me. And so being able to come from this rehearsal and see gameplay footage and highlights and clips from our teasers put against Jax's awesome music that has such a good beat and heart to it, with our players walking out, and it's like a trifecta of awesome, which that sounds corny, but it hits you in multiple places at once, and I don't think you'll understand until you see it.
Oh, man. I am so excited to experience this. Thank you so much. Devin Murphy has been our guest here in studio, in the Checkpoint XP studio. Devin, thank you so much, and have a wonderful show this weekend.
Thank you guys very much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.
Listen, we want to hear from you. What are you excited about the most for this weekend Summer Split Finals? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to do our official preview of the weekend in LCS. Plus, we've got to talk to Noah Smith. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
The Rick Fox saga enters into a whole new phase, and we've got Noah Smith from the Washington Post here joining us to talk about
Welcome back. Tragedy at this point.
I know, right? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options, like If You Give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books, and Nerd Radio for everything from sci-fi to wrestling to all things nerdy in between, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. So Noah Smith from the Washington Post is in the studio with us, and a huge story just breaking about Rick Fox and his investors in Echo Fox now filing a
restraining order
that has been denied, essentially. So Noah, can you bring us up to speed with the latest in this story?
Definitely. And first of all, it's great to be here in the studio, see this whole place. Very nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, we like it.
Yes, Beasley XP has outfitted us with a really spectacular studio here. So
that's great. So with Rick Fox. So yeah, I think probably the easiest way is just to quickly summarize the events of today and then quickly sort of backtrack to how we got here. And so what happened today, correct, a temporary restraining order was filed against Rick Fox's holding company, essentially Rick Fox, to stop him from making decisions and taking control of Echo Fox, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so while that motion was denied, what did emerge is the judge said basically that within 60 days that Rick Fox will be subject to the supermajority of this larger group of investors, and the expectation is that they're going to force him out, essentially. And so what's interesting about this whole situation is basically that Rick Fox was never in a managerial role until very recently in this whole thing. This whole thing, I mean, Echo Fox was started, I believe it was 2015, and then they created these holding companies subsequent to that to raise money and sort of drive other businesses as well. So Echo Fox is just one of several sort of companies or properties within this Vision Ventures Partners umbrella.
Right.
Now, one of the important parts of that umbrella is something called Vision Esports, which is not Vision Venture Partners. And I believe there's like three Vision Esports, Vision Esports 1, 2, and 3. Okay. And they're all sort of controlled by this guy, Stratton Sklavos, who was co-owner of the San Jose Sharks. We're in VeriSign. He's a business guy through and through.
I'm just going by his name here. Can you confirm he is or is not a Bond villain?
Sounds like it.
No comment. Okay. Because I'll tell you why. This is, you know, this is a very serious situation. Mm-hmm. This is the most this is one of the most contentious stories I've covered. And what's interesting about it is that I don't remember these kind of split narratives since I was based in Israel. And I'm not exactly literally where people are calling me, you know, series of facts A, B, C, and then series of facts X, Y, Z, and they don't. match at all.
No, and that was the biggest thing that, you know, I wanted to ask you is that part of what we're seeing now is this dual narrative where we have, you know, one story that's coming out from Rick Fox, and we have a completely divergent story coming out from Sklavos and Amit Rezada and you know, the group of investors that seem to have circled the wagons here.
This has kind of been our struggle trying to cover this story, is trying to say, okay, let's report the facts. That is very difficult to do on this story.
It's not even just this story either, even within the esports. I mean, the exact same thing's happening with the Sony Marvel Spider-Man story, too.
Yeah, so it's, and FaZe Clan and Tfue.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's something I was also involved in reporting on that, spoke to both sides there. Well, spoke to Tfue's side and then got, you know, the comments from FaZe Clan. Mm-hmm. And so here's my sort of take on this whole thing, is that you have some esports organizations that from the outside seem to be run well. I mean, I would name Team Liquid from the outside seems to be like that, Cloud9, several other ones. And other ones, as we're seeing, are not. And the money that Echo Fox, Vision Venture Partners, Echo Fox, esports, whatever, you know, whatever we're talking about, blew through millions, tens of millions of dollars in a year.
Wow.
But even then, they can the controversy because they raised $38 million. But that was through Vision Esports. And then they're talking about, we have sourcing that says only $11 million of that went to Echo Fox. So then where did the other money go? Talking about Twin Galaxies, talking about this. I've seen some of the financials, but again, unverified, unsourced. Everyone, you know, and people are putting out this, you know, spinning things, false information. And it essentially, I mean, if I was going to break down the two things here real quick, it would be Rick Fox is saying, you know, basically, you know, look, I was the face of this organization. I'm not a business guy. I wasn't in control. I took control, and these people were, you know, $6 million in debt and only had $30K in the bank. What do you, what? Like,
what
how
am I supposed
you put
to
this
do?
On me? Right.
Yeah.
And they're, now they're coming after me because I'm not doing what they wanted me to do, right? But then the investors have a very different story. What the investors say is, look, we went into this with the best of intentions with Rick Fox, and kind of is like he just had willful negligence and malfeasance and was trying to subvert this whole deal. And he's talking about he had $5 million in debt and he was trying to zero out that debt through these new deals. And he didn't go with the Evil Geniuses deal. He wanted to go with this other deal and the cash wasn't there. So it's just sort of this he said, she said sort of situation. But I think the larger narrative here is that esports is so young and so new, and I mean, with this level of money attached.
For sure.
To it.
Yeah.
And so, like, when you're talking about volatile companies, startups, you know, Silicon Valley, that's what it reminds me of. Just as like, oh, they're talking about it was worth $150 million. Well, why was it worth $150 million? Because Forbes said so. Well, people are saying now Forbes never saw the financials. Forbes said that woman, Theranos, was worth $1 billion,
yeah.
Right? That was them or Fortune. It was Forbes or Fortune?
It was one of the two.
I think it was Fortune, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay,
yeah,
so maybe Fortune. They said she's worth $1 billion, and they came up with their valuation, and then the next year she's worth zero. So,
right.
So that's one side, and then talking about $30 million. Well, we know that because someone's willing to pay for that.
Yeah.
But on the $150 million, and I talked to VCs who have invested heavily into esports, right, and talking about, you know, raised $50 million or put $50 million into however much you're talking there, at least nine figures for valuation for the organization that they put it into. And I'm saying, why are you valuing it like that? What's the revenue? And it's the exact same thing about why was WhatsApp worth what WhatsApp was worth? Why was Facebook, you know, before it went public, worth what that was? And it's just talking about, well, we have this many fans and users and this and that. And so we hope if things go right that at some point down the line it will be worth that.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're sitting down with Noah Smith of the Washington Post, trying to get a better lay of the land on the latest wrinkle in the Rick Fox and Echo Fox saga that has been going on. And I've got a quick question for you. How typical is this of the way that an esports organization is set up? Because I think one of the things that became most flabbergasting to us as this whole thing has been unfolding has been how difficult it is to get someone out of an organization that doesn't willingly want to take an exit. So is this typical of how most esports organizations are set up? Are more esports organizations susceptible to this kind of wheeling and dealing?
So it depends which ones we're talking about. So we're talking about most, right? We're talking about most esports organizations. I mean, and there's hundreds or thousands of them, right?
Right.
No. The short answer is no. And then even when you get to the higher tier, the premier top tier esports organizations, the answer is also no, because a lot of times these things came about through one person, right? Like I'm thinking, what's the dude's name?
I think like Team Solomid and Reginald.
Team Solomid, yeah. Reginald. Where is Etienne?
Jack Etienne, Cloud9.
Cloud9,
Cloud9,
same thing. So then you have the consolidation just of power and money sort of like in one person. And raising funds, not raising funds. So every time that you raise funds, obviously you're diluting it. Every time you're doing that, then you're putting more power out to these investors, everything like that. But I think that this kind of thing happens more when, and I'm not ascribing this to any specific situation. I want to be clear about that. Mm-hmm. But I think this kind of thing happens when people don't understand the business that they're getting into. Mm-hmm. I think that it's really easy to just look at a lot of these figures and say, oh, wow, this many kids are watching this kind of thing. And wow, you know, whatever. Oh, yeah, $20 million. Why not? You know, it's more fun than buying a house or something. Right. So I think that in those kind of situations, people are more susceptible to it. I think, but I'll put it like this. I think there's going to be a major, I'll say it on the radio, like I think there's going to be a major winnowing out of esports organizations going forward, leagues, teams, things, you know, because it's kind of like a boom time right now. You know?
Right. Yeah.
And there's not been a margin call on sure. any of this stuff to a large extent. I mean,
essentially a bubble.
Yeah. That would be another way of saying it.
Well, but you're right, though. I mean, we've seen issues over the last couple of years. A team starts up, they have the best of intentions, and suddenly we're having to report on articles about how they're not paying their players because they can't afford to. The money isn't there. And a lot of these teams that are, you know, starting up, not all of them are going to make it. A lot of them are going to end up being, as you said, winnowed out of the market. And what these kinds of situations really speak to me, talking about like Tfue and FaZe Clan, or right now with Rick Fox and Echo Fox, is the importance for... like journalism, for, you know, print journalism, places like the Washington Post to be getting involved in esports, because there's a lot of facts that need to be sussed out. And as we're learning, it's really hard to do it.
Yeah.
Because they haven't had to. Yeah. And this is something we talk about a lot with my editor, that like to this point, it's just been, it's fun, you know, it's video games and this, and, yeah. you know, we can do what we want and we can control the narrative the whole way. It's like Hollywood. Think about Hollywood year, you know, time was, and not that recently, and they still try to do this, but like, you know, we are the sole source of this information that you need, unless someone's going to leak it. So you need to play ball with us, and we're going to control this narrative, and you're going to be happy for the blog posts we write or the scraps that we do, and thank us at the end, you know, and we don't do that. That's not how I do business. It's not how the Washington Post does business. You know, we want the information, and these are not, it's not fun and games. These are multi-billion-dollar companies or young individuals, you know, who are in these situations, and absolutely they deserve to know, you know, to have this accountability, at least to understand the ball games that they're getting into.
I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's I think who you have to feel for in a situation like this, is the people who got their contracts vacated, you know, the people who essentially lost their jobs at the end of the day, mm-hmm. because all of these people who have a let's be honest, a ton of money, are just can't come to an agreement and play nice with each other.
Thank you for saying that. Seriously, no, I'm serious. Thank you for saying that, because at the end of the day, this is a civil litigation between rich folks, between really rich folks. Okay, but for the players, like, who's looking out for them in this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody.
So I kind of want to ask a adjacent question to that. Do you think that the esports ecosystem, if you will, benefits then from a collective bargaining agreement to prevent something like this from happening to the players, at the very least?
For the players, yes. But flat, yes. I mean, full stop. I mean, because we're now just starting to shift and we're starting to evolve. I think Tfue had a lot to do with this, where, again, they're kind of going from this position of like, oh my gosh, someone's going to pay me to play video games. This is great. You're going to pay me $100. Wow, this is, I can't believe it. To, oh, well, but wait a minute. How much are you making, though? How much
are
you making?
I'm the star. I'm the star power driving the engine here.
Yeah. And I'm the one that they actually want these sponsorships. I'm the one doing all this. Now the organizations will tell you, look, we're taking huge risks. We're the one negotiating all these deals. Mm-hmm. We're providing all these resources. We're paying salaries. But, you know, it's the business employee sort of situation. But the difference being is that it's still an uphill battle to get respect for a lot of these players.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's easy to sort of, from the outside, I think, dismiss them. You guys are playing games, whatever, you're making how much money, this and that. This guy won $3 million, Booga. How many people did he beat out to win that $3 million? How many people?
Yeah, I mean, 100 at that event alone.
I mean,
thousands to get there.
Yeah, the people that he had to run over in the qualifiers, mm-hmm. and all, yeah, you know, like there was, hey, he did something Ninja couldn't do.
And I read somewhere, and I have not verified this, but that some, like six figures of that, what I read was $600,000. Now that's not verified. I would not print that, but I would encourage people to do their own research and see. He had to give $600,000 of that to an organization.
Yeah.
Of that $3 million. What, and now they would turn around and say, well, we paid him the salary and we did this and that. And so, mm-hmm. But someone said this and it resonates a bit, like penny stocks.
Yeah.
Throw him a couple thousand bucks a month and then maybe he'll win $3 million and I'll.
Right.
And, I went over.
What I mean, and we as the lowly peons of the world think like, oh yeah, you know, $50,000 a year. That's a ton of money. That's an incredible salary. But to someone who is a venture capitalist who is looking to make, you know, millions or more on 50,000? Esports, that's like you say, a penny stock.
Yeah.
So I think one thing though, Noah, that a lot of people are concerned about it and they want to know. So what does this do sort of for the status of the LCS, the status of esports? Is this something that you think will have lasting damage on the space, or is this just another story of, as you said, rich folks arguing, some people losing their jobs, and we all move on?
The second one. I mean, they already got the bid for, what was it, $30.25 million, and then the second one came in, I think, $31 million. So I think people just look at this and say, oh, well, that's a mess. It's a dumpster. Dumpster fire.
It's a dumpster fire. Yeah, you can say
this, situation, but there's clearly still value in it. And look, the Call of Duty League, their franchise is growing for a reported $25 million based on hope, basically. I mean, they, more or less. And so, I mean, I shouldn't say it that glibly. There is some underpinnings to why people would want to be paying that. But I would say LCS is a different situation, is that it is, you know, more proven.
It's been around more established.
And so, no, I think there's still buyers. They had three offers. So four. They had the Cranky offer, and then that one fell through, and then they had three other ones.
Evil Geniuses being one of them, and
there's a Shapiro one, and then the third one that they don't want to name, all of which were 25 to 31 million. I don't know what the third one was.
And it's worth noting that, you know, Riot's given 30 days for someone to, you know, make the pitch to get the slot. They're not going to have any shortage of offers coming in on that last slot.
No, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's still highly competitive. People love to get in there. So I think the second option.
So what's the future look like for Echo Fox? I mean, we know that they still have competitors out there in the Battle Royale space. They still have FGC. Yeah, absolutely. So what does the future look like for Echo Fox?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now. I don't know. I mean, I can say based on like the court proceedings today that it's likely Rick Fox will be removed in 60 days. Okay. They still have the financial deficits that they have. Will they be able to raise more money? Maybe. Maybe not. Depends who they install. The other teams, I don't know. It'll be a great case study, but I'm not going to make a prediction on that.
Nate, to your point, like, talking about the players, if you're currently still playing for Echo Fox, I mean, you're, like, brushing up your resume at this point, right?
You
cannot feel good about who you're playing for at that point. Yeah. That's got
to
be brutal.
And Norris, to your point about, unionizing, you know, at the end of the day, I think, like, a lot of these organizations feel like they don't have to be responsible to the players. You know, they say that they have, while they're an organization, they say that they have the players' best interest at heart, and that's all well and good, but do they really, when at the, you know, when all is said and done and the whole thing crumbles, you're leaving people unpaid, that says way more about how much you actually care about the players than, you know, anything that you say while you're trying to make yourself look good.
Yeah, and I think, you know, based off when we look at traditional sports and we look at the collective bargaining agreements for, say, football or basketball or whatever, I mean, it behooves the league to negotiate with the players, because once there's a lockout, nobody wants to, quote-unquote, see scabs play in the NFL.
Once the lockout happens, that's when people start losing money.
Exactly.
Right.
But as it stands right now, because there's no ability for the players to even hold their own organization accountable, there's no incentive for Riot or the LCS or any of these teams to really value any of the players. So something like this can happen. There can be another $30 million offer. And in 2020, or later on this year in 2019, this will be business as usual, and the splits will continue. Yeah. So I think, you know, I am not one to go out and tell people what to do. I would never do that. But at the same time, I think for esports perhaps to move to the next level, this is a very serious question that needs to have a very serious answer.
Absolutely. Clearly, it's a tough situation for everyone involved. Noah Smith, contributing writer for The Washington Post, has been our guest here. Thank you so much. Let everyone know, what's the title of the article and where they can find it?
It's in the Washington Post, and the title. There have been a couple updates to the story.
We'll right here.
Sorry, I don't write the title.
It's fine. I'll edit the.
We'll edit it.
The question prompt cleanly. So
you're right. It has updated since. Now, Echo Fox partners fail in attempt to secure temporary restraining order against Rick Fox.
Yeah, so that's the one. And then I just want to mention, if people want to check out a good charity, good gaming charity, it would be Direct Relief, R-E-L-I-E-F, upcoming Zeldathon. So the charitable inkling and everyone, I would encourage them to check that out as well.
Noah Smith, contributing writer for The Washington Post, has been our guest here today on Checkpoint XP. Noah, man, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you, and anytime. Literally. So many thanks.
Well, do you want to stick around for our next conversation?
Let's do it.
Awesome.
All right.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. We've got Noah Smith continuing to hang out with us for this segment. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP and low team damage and much more coming soon. Check it out over at our website, CheckpointXP.com/shop. And I understand that there's a new t-shirt design that's going to be going up fairly soon.
Oh, yeah.
The 8-bit t-shirt.
Oh,
you're
going
to want to check that out. Again, CheckpointXP.com/shop. We are headed into a big weekend of League of Legends action as, of course, the Summer Split Finals descend here on us locally in Detroit. So, thought we would take a second before we go into the weekend and actually really spend some time focusing on this. Again, Noah Smith from the Washington Post is joining us here in studio to break down the Summer Split Finals with us. So thank you, Noah. We appreciate you hanging out.
Sure thing. It's fun for a Friday afternoon.
Yes.
Right?
Good.
So, absolutely. You get to, you know, you're in town to attend and see the LCS Summer Split Finals. What are your thoughts going into it? I mean, who are you pulling for personally?
You're going to ask a journalist.
He has to be objective.
Hey, theoretically, I have to be objective,
Joe is
too.
Objective over here.
Yeah.
I'm open for some good, solid competition and some good game. No, listen.
Every night in the mirror before bed, right? Yeah. You got to practice that one.
No. I mean, my take on this is I'm just glad it's in Detroit, honestly. I think that, you know, so often in this conversation, it's like New York, Los Angeles in particular.
Texas.
Oh, Texas. I mean, yeah, obviously Texas, too. But no, I'm glad it's here and so that people can see that, you know, there's some action going on here. I mean, I was just downtown yesterday, and I'm always back and forth and back and forth. But this time it really hit me, because before it was like a couple neighborhoods here and there. But this is like,
sure,
this is happening.
Yeah.
I realize now, like, this is happening.
Yeah.
This is a real thing.
Detroit has come so far in the
absolutely
last 5-10 years.
Totally.
Especially, yeah.
You know, I have to admit, you know, most of the time when I go home, I take 75 home, and I don't go anywhere near LCS. Tonight, when I drive home, I'm going to take Woodward, and I'm going to drive right by and see, you know, like, see if I could feel a difference, you know, with Riot being here in the city.
Let me tell you what did it for me. We were doing our sort of, like, things for nerds to do in Detroit while you pilgrimage to LCA for the finals.
By the way, our listener McChizu paid you a nice compliment, said he enjoyed that article quite a bit.
Awesome. Thank you very much, McChizu. But there's a little statuette down, like, right in the center of downtown that's like LCS Summer Split Finals. And it's like people are walking by and, like, taking pictures with it and stuff. And I'm like, what is this? This is for video games, bro. Like, it is blowing my mind that there will now be a great flood of nerds taking over downtown Detroit, specifically to go watch League of Legends. I would have... That sentence didn't exist in my brain 3 years ago.
Let me caveat that. Specifically, gaming nerds, none of them weeaboos we see during Yoma.
No. Not those nerds at Yoma. Not those guys.
No. No, listen, when I flew into the airport, they had the whole welcome banner, like LCS right on the LCD screen.
No kidding.
Yeah, like, that's cool.
And, I saw that too.
Yeah,
I saw it too.
They had players, and I flew with the players. The players, they gave them the same style bags that they give, like, athletes, you know, when they fly and travel. And so I flew with a couple.
Oh, that's so cool.
That feels big. Feels like big time. That's so awesome.
So I figured to break down kind of what we got going on this weekend, we'd take a quick look at kind of the story so far for the summer split.
That's a good idea.
Obviously, North America was kind of geeking out for the start of the summer split after Team Liquid went all the way to the finals at MSI, eventually lost to G2 Esports, but they went all the way to the finals. There was almost a sense of like, can we start Worlds right now? I don't want to have any chance for Team Liquid to blow this before we get to Worlds. But as the split went on, you know, Team Liquid starts a little sluggishly, but then kind of returns to dominance. They end up going 14-4, taking first. Cloud9 beats out CLG on the very last day of play to take that second bye, breaking my heart once again and reminding me why I don't root for that team anymore. We get into the postseason. We've got Team Liquid facing off against Cloud9 for first place. I don't want to say the match doesn't matter, because of course it matters. It matters immensely. But both teams are qualified for Worlds. Both teams have their spot locked up for Worlds. So it's not like they're fighting for that honor.
But listen, we do know, obviously, as you had so wonderfully given exposition to, we do know that really there's only one team when it comes to contention on the world stage from NA. And that's Team Liquid. So what does it do? What does a loss at the Summer Split Finals do to a Team Liquid about to step onto the world stage?
You know, I've been thinking about that an awful lot this week, because in my opinion, Team Liquid is the most likely to compete. That's not to say Cloud9 can't. They competed last year, but then again, they had Jensen last year.
But so, they've gone farther than any other organization in North America has ever been in Worlds.
And they had Jensen.
Don't get me wrong. Jensen is a big deal, okay? And I get it. But to say that Cloud9 doesn't have the pedigree to win...
They do.
I think is a disservice to Cloud9. This should be a really good finals that both teams have a legitimate chance to win.
Yeah, I would never try to argue that both teams don't have a great chance to win. I think if your mindset is, I want to see my team win at Worlds, I feel like seeing Team Liquid be dominant here would make you feel very good about that. I feel like if Cloud9 wins, there will definitely be a...
Oh, no, we're going to stink it up at Worlds again.
There will be some discomfort. There will be some puckering going on.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, CLG and Clutch Gaming are going to be in the third place matchup. This one might have more on the line, because they'll be playing for seeding in the Gauntlet tournament to determine who's going to be the third slot. Norris, I want to get your opinion on this.
Sure.
If Clutch Gaming is that third seed and they go to Worlds, do you kind of get the feeling that they could make some noise at Worlds?
I think so, because first of all, you have Demonte on Qiyana right now, new champion, and you got probably somebody who is the most adept at using her in North America.
Yeah.
So I think that gives you a distinct advantage. I haven't watched a lot of Korea or China, so I don't know their grasp of that particular champion. But I think that gives you an advantage that makes you sort of an unknown. And as I say all the time in Overwatch, as I say all the time in any other esports, you got to watch out for the team that gets hot at the right time.
Yeah, and I mean, Cody Sun has obviously been very good, and Clutch Gaming in particular feels like they play up to whoever they're playing against. Mm-hmm. Like when they went up against TSM, they beat TSM, and that was a big feat. And when they went up against Team Liquid, and everyone expected them to get smashed, they gave Team Liquid five games and yeah. made me not feel very good for the rest of the day. I was vomiting for half the day. But yeah, I feel like Clutch really has the potential to make some noise. I don't know that I feel the same way about CLG if they're the ones to qualify.
Me either.
Here's I think definitively what I don't want. I do not want TL to come out and 3-0 stomp Cloud9. That I think would be the most boring thing. And I gotta say, on that wonderful promo video that Riot has put together, that was, you know, that was one of the things that Double Lift had said was, listen, Clutch made it fun.
Yeah.
I hope Cloud9 makes it fun. Well, that's a remarkably confident statement to make.
It's Double Lift
going into the Summer Split Finals.
If they stink it up and TL comes out and smashes Cloud9 in a sweep, I will personally take a Coney dog and throw it on stage to make sure that I hit somebody. I would be so immensely disappointed.
Well, I feel like one of the big highlights of this is going to be watching Jensen square off against his old team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Cloud9 is going to want this win badly.
Yeah.
There is definitely going to be a little bit of rubbing dirt in the wound here. If Team Liquid like 3-0s Cloud9, like, hey, we took probably your best player. He plays for us now, and now you don't have a chance against us anymore. That's not going to feel good.
C9 got the MVP, baby.
It's been scary. Now, yeah, the All-Star team this year, the only player to not come off Team Liquid, Sven Skaren, who ends up taking the MVP award home. So, kind of interesting. I don't know that I would... I mean, Sven Skaren's been so good this year, but I don't know if I'd say he's been better than X-Smithy. I mean, obviously, the analysts thought he was.
I don't
but
think he is.
I thought X-Smithy was pretty damn good this
year. But the one thing I want to ask our guests.
Yeah.
Okay. and this is I know you're a journalist. I know objectivity is your name. But I'd ask you this. Okay. We've seen throughout the LCS that Double F is the man. He's probably the greatest we've seen.
Well, having met him in person too, it's hard to deny.
He's an amazing
that.
Guy.
Go
he's so great.
Away with
he's
you.
He's so awesome. He told me, he's like, oh man, that Joe guy, he sounds like a nice guy, but it's clear they sent the two best people.
Yep.
But anyway. So Noah, I gotta ask you this. Besides Double If, are you looking forward to anybody popping off, or do you think he'll just take over by himself?
I think he's going to take over by himself. I mean, I think, look, you're talking about someone who's been so dominant for so long, and I think especially after last season and the experiences that they've had, and also had a chance. I mean, Team Liquid also, and I've seen this firsthand. I've interviewed him. I've been backstage, so to speak, with that organization. I mean, they really... With all the talk about these dumpster fires elsewhere, like they support those guys. They
yeah.
support them really well. So I think that what he's been able to create there, and they're starting to get, I mean, and I bring this over from like traditional sports too, like it matters. Like when you start winning these ball game or matches, winning these matches against the highest levels of competition, I mean, that kind of thing matters. There's a real effect with that, and it emanates too. So these other teams that maybe were like, wait, so they got that far, and then we kind of put up some points against them, like, It kind of radiates out from there.
We talk about a culture of winning, and Team Liquid is one that over not just League of Legends, but over basically everything they compete in at this point, have really begun to establish that culture of winning. You see it all the time in like baseball. When one pitcher does well, the next pitcher the next day wants to do just as well. So you see Team Liquid do well at the International. Now the League of Legends team wants to one-up that. Then someone on their fighting game squad wants to one-up that. It builds upon itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Noah Smith has been our guest here on Checkpoint XP. Noah, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate it as always. Glad to have you here in Detroit for the Summer Split Finals. And let everyone know where they can, you know, find you on social media.
That would be _ knowable, NOAHBLE, because someone took my name, and NOAHBLE.com. Noahbull.com.
Noah Smith from the Washington Post has been our guest here on Checkpoint XP. We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. And, of course, my co-host, who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.